This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everybody jump! Jump!
Yes. A good Thursday morning. Happy Valentine's Day to one and all. It is Taz of the Moose with you, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. To provide a seamless mortgage experience, you've got Mike and Pete across the way, Bogish, with your updates as we take you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 Pacific here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Taz?
Ah, Moose, so good. I'm in a really good mood, and I don't know why. I'm in a good mood, and I don't think I should be. But cool. It's kind of weird. But yes, happy Valentine's.
Happy Valentine's Day to one
to everyone. Yes, absolutely.
Good morning, gentlemen.
No doubt. Yes. We got a great show coming up, Moose. You know that. Please.
Yes, of course. Each and every day we do. And we get
You're
it going
right.
here
you
on this Thursday right. morning with the NFL offseason moves. And they can't be officially announced until March next month. But the Baltimore Ravens have agreed to trade quarterback Joe Flacco to John Elway and the Denver Broncos, and they're reportedly going to get a fourth-round draft choice back in return for Joe Flacco, and that is it. So the Denver Broncos have got themselves a brand-new spanking quarterback. You have the Baltimore Ravens now are transitioning to where that is completely Lamar Jackson's team, and they get rid of any of the headache and the financial impact long term of having Flacco on the books. Even though obviously in the NFL nothing's really guaranteed here moving forward, but they're able to dump Flacco on the Broncos, and now the Baltimore Ravens, that is Lamar Jackson's team, and the Broncos now have Joe Flacco as their signal caller in 2019.
Yeah, a lot to unpack here, my man. Right? I mean, it's. First off, I I'm not big into the odds in the Vegas. I know you might delve into it a little more than me. You saw that the odds, I don't know the number. It's up now for as far as if the Ravens can win the Super Bowl, that Flacco left. You see that?
Was it the Ravens or the Broncos?
I could have sworn it was the Ravens. Being that Flacco is no longer even a backup for the Ravens, the odds went up. I'm pretty sure that's what
okay.
it was. Whatever.
Was that the one where it was 100-1?
Yes. Am I right on that? Anyway, regardless. To me, Moose, like, I look at the whole thing with Flacco going to the Broncos, where I don't want to say I don't get it because I kind of get it, but it's about Elway. It's about John Elway. Can he figure this out already? I mean, this guy, Elway's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play the game.
Elway's a great guy.
We've all watched him. We know how great of a player he was. I gotta say, dude, I mean, with the different mishmash of quarterbacks we've seen over time and bringing Flacco in, what if you want to win now? What are you doing with Flacco? What, because he's tall? I mean, what? Why don't
he won a Super Bowl.
I know he's won a Super Bowl. In 2000, what, 10, 9, 11, whatever it was? He hasn't done nothing since, though, bro. I don't. You think this is a good move?
What are the other options right now?
You try to work something out as far as getting somebody, maybe in the draft, get good move up somehow, some way. I mean, I would do something like that where I'm trying to get somebody in and groom them.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that they don't, it doesn't necessarily mean that they don't address the quarterback position in the draft.
True.
I mean, Sam Bradford last year was signed by Arizona. They drafted Josh Rosen. The Cleveland Browns brought in Tyrod Taylor. They drafted Baker Mayfield. The Jets brought back Josh McCown. They went, obviously, and drafted Sam Darnold. So you look at Joe Flacco, I'm not telling you that he's not the long-term solution, the answer for the next 7-8 years, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they don't draft a quarterback in the first round if there's somebody that they love with, but the pressure is not on them to have to draft a quarterback. That's what this move does do.
Well, I agree with that part, that they can still make a move in the draft. They sit at 10 right now. In the draft order, and I've talked about it in the past too, that there's a good chance that they could eye up and get Drew Lock, okay, who's a big, tall quarterback. Seems like that's what Elway likes, the big, tall guys, and Missouri kid. That could happen, but I mean, I don't know. I just feel like they need a lot of help, the Broncos, so they need a lot of different pieces to make that team good. So I'm thinking their first pick, they're probably going to go defense, not quarterback. Maybe they think that someone will drop, a quarterback will drop. Maybe they pick some up in a different round.
Or maybe they just don't like the quarterbacks in this draft. It's not a great quarterback draft class.
No, it's not.
I mean,
it's not.
You know, Murray makes it a little bit more intriguing, but there's also restrictions and concerns about Kyler Murray due to his physical limitations as far as height is concerned, and also weight. I mean, you know, a lot of people believe that he's going to come well under 200 pounds. I mean, so... I mean, there are those. He's a smallish athlete as compared to by NFL standards. Now, you look at, you know, is Haskins sitting there at the 10th overall pick? I don't know if he is.
I mean, probably,
in all likelihood, he probably is not. But, I mean, the move for the Broncos, unless you're going to go delve into the deep end of the pool, when you look at a Nick Foles from the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, there aren't a lot of other. Are you going to tell me Teddy Bridgewater is a better option? I don't know if Teddy Bridgewater is a better option than Joe Flacco.
Me personally, my opinion, eyeball test, watching those two players over years, Flacco and Bridgewater. Even Bridgewater, you know, come back as we know from that horrible leg injury. I'd rather Bridgewater. I think he's a better athlete. He's a better player. It's a different day and age, which you know that. We know that. We talk about it all the time. We watch it all the time. Offenses are different. Things are changing. I just feel like that archaic mindset, and frankly, and I got a feeling you're not going to agree with this just by what you seems like your vibe is on the Flacco thing, and that's cool, but like we could agree to disagree. I think Flacco going to the Broncos is going to sound really weird, maybe. To you. I think Flacco going to the Broncos actually helps Kyler Murray in the draft. I think it helps guys that aren't as big in the draft because it's not what today's NFL is really evolving to. It's evolving to the RPO stuff, guys, quarterbacks that can move, that can think on the fly, move the ball quick, get out of the pocket, get on the hop. That's what it's about. It's really the straight dropback guys are not really, you know, it's kind of a little bit of an archaic type of thing going on there. So,
well, I mean, listen, I think there's a place for both. I don't think you have to be a quarterback that's eluding the pass rush and I mean, we just watched Tom Brady win the Super Bowl. Tom Brady is not elusive in any way, shape, or form.
I think that's a tough comparison because he's, you know, that's going to sound.
No, he's
Tom Brady, though. I know he's tall and he's.
No, but he doesn't move. But
bro, he's. Guys, his vision, his experience, his expertise, his.
But no, if you want to look at. But if you want to look at the style of play.
I agree with that.
If I'm just looking.
It's tough, though, but no, it's not.
If I'm looking at the style of play, Taz. If you're going to judge a player based on style of play, Tom Brady just won the Super Bowl.
Jared
Goff's not the most mobile quarterback in the world.
No one's throwing a flag on the fact how great Tom Brady.
And those two guys just played for the Super Bowl.
No one's throwing a flag here. I'm not saying that about Tom Brady. I know you're right. I know his style of play. Trust me, I know it. I just think that he's just such a unique, special player, and his release point of his hand, how quick he gets rid of the ball, having an unbelievable offensive line, and just the comfort zone that he's in for years on that team. You're right. He's the same style as a straight drop back, traditional cup protection quarterback. I completely agree with you.
Well, that's the point.
I'm not comparing,
and I do think. I mean, you know, if you're going to say that you'd rather run the risk and take the shot on Teddy Bridgewater, you can't compare careers. I mean, Joe Flacco went into New England and beat the Patriots on the road. I mean, he's got into Denver and beat Peyton Manning and the Broncos. I mean, Joe Flacco's has had great playoff success. He really has. And he would have beaten the Patriots for a second time if Lee Evans could catch the football, you know, on a pass late in the game. Unfortunately, he dropped in the end zone. So even though we want to look at Flacco and knock him, and certainly as a regular season quarterback, and you can look at his numbers, and I know everybody was drawing up the numbers and saying, well, look at him as compared to Case Keenum.
It's the same numbers.
Well, but numbers don't tell the entire story. I mean, they really don't. I mean, they don't tell the entire story of a player, nor do they tell the entire story of where an organization is going either. I mean, you look at the lack of – there was a year in which, coming into this year, we criticized the Baltimore Ravens for having a lack of wide receivers and playmakers for Joe Flacco to be able to throw the football to. Now, he's not been great in the past couple of years, but Flacco has had postseason success, and he's won a Super Bowl. And he was the reason why the team got to Super Bowl. I mean, the big pass that he had.
Won a Super Bowl 6 years ago.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
It does matter. Times are changing, Moose. He's not, just my opinion. Look, you're entitled to your opinion. I'm entitled to mine. I'm just saying I don't like the move. And no one's going to sell me on Joe Flacco.
I'm not trying to sell you. I'm giving you my opinion.
Right.
I mean, the fact remains is that he's had a much better career than Bridgewater. I mean, the fact remains is that you want to look at it. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. Then you can make an argument he won a Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Right.
I mean, you can add years upon it. A guy that's won a Super Bowl, that has accomplished it, that showed himself to be a big game player in the playoffs, and Flacco has shown you to do that. So he does have that going for him.
Now you want to look at
the regular season and where he's gone the last 3 years. You can be critical of Joe Flacco. They gave up a fourth round draft choice for a guy that they hoped to be the solution. And they also could not compound the problem with Case Keenum realizing after 1 year of a 2-year deal, that was a bad deal at the onset, but a 2-year deal that they gave to Keenum and said, this is not going to work for us. We need to find a better option at the quarterback position.
Well, you know,
that's the decision John Elway made.
Well, I hear you. And you got Fangio in there as a new coach, his new head coach. And he's a guy who's been around a long time. He's not a young man. And he's a different hire than what we've seen a lot of the NFL teams going for, that young, you know, offensive minor type coach, where Fangio's different, you know, as far as he's a DC, a long history of that and all this jazz. And, I don't know, just my opinion. I'm not a Bronco fan. I'm not a Bronco hater. Just looking at the Broncos from afar, I feel like if I was a Bronco fan right now, I would look at it like, Moose, like this is my franchise, my team as a fan is kind of a, you know, old school, archaic mindset with Elway making big decisions. You bring in a guy like Fangio, who's a little bit older. No knock on Fangio. He might be great. He might do a great job as the head coach. And now you're bringing in a guy like Flacco. What? He's 34 years old, 35, whatever he is. I mean, and he got beat out by Lamar Jackson. You know,
well, he got hurt.
But they never got his job. He never came back in and played.
He didn't, because Lamar Jackson was winning football games. But also, there's a reason why the Ravens' odds went up. I mean, Lamar Jackson's also going to adjust, as we discussed earlier in the week. Adjust his style of play and become a better thrower of the football.
He can't
run the ball 27 times a game.
No, he can't.
And expect to hold up. I mean.
Right.
Cam Newton hasn't held up, and he wasn't running the ball that much.
And
he's at 260, 270 pounds.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson is nowhere near that kind of weight. So, I mean, that would be a concern that I have for Baltimore. Listen, I think Joe Flacco, when we say, is he the most athletic quarterback? No. I mean, but he is a quarterback that has got a huge arm, is a huge downfield thrower, can make all the throws that you're looking to make, can put the ball on a line. He can't scramble 15 yards for a first down, but there are other quarterbacks in the National Football League that can't do that. You can do the repass option. Nick Foles is an unathletic quarterback. He won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. He's not exactly scrambling and running for 100.
He's a lot younger. He's younger than Flacco.
He's not fleet of foot.
No, he's not. But listen. What I'm saying is,
you're caught up on the age or the lack of foot speed.
I'm caught up on age and athleticism and defenses having an easier time to prep for a guy like Flacco, where it's a little tougher to prep for the guy who can move out of the pocket. I'm not just talking about a runner. I'm not just talking about a QB that's like a, you know, Tyrod Taylor type or a Bridgewater type I'm not talking about just that. I'm talking about the guys that can move out of the pocket, this new style of movement, and move the football where coordinators, defensive coordinators, and defensive position coaches have a little bit harder time prepping for a guy as opposed to a guy who needs basically cup protection, and which is very old school, and needs a few seconds to get the ball out of his hand and needs guys open. Now, if they could jack up that offensive line for the Broncos like the Pats did, okay, then maybe I agree with the arm power. Okay, and these guys 6'6" arm power, Flacco. I agree with all that. I know. I totally
all
agree.
Right, but let me. If I go around the National Football League, Taz,
right,
there's more pocket quarterbacks, pocket passing quarterbacks than there are guys that are Patrick Mahomes.
Well, don't you think we're in the middle of this changing? I mean, these times are kind of changing.
I think it depends on the player.
Well, look at Baker Mayfield. He's the hottest quarterback that everybody wants.
Sure.
He was great,
but also I could look at a guy like Josh Rosen coming out of Arizona. He's a pure pocket.
You can look at Josh Allen, and he's not. He's got the size, but he can run, and he can move, and he can move on. I know his accuracy's not great. I know that. But I'm just saying, like, Sam Darnold.
Three out of the four guys that played in the championship Sunday were pocket passers.
Right.
Rivers is a pocket passer. Lamar Jackson wasn't. They lost, and they were anemic offensively.
Right.
The Baltimore Ravens.
What's Mahomes? I said three of the four.
Mahomes is not your prototypical pocket passing quarterback. But if I go down the line, I think there's more pocket throwers than there are in. I mean, Foles is. Eli is. Smith wasn't. I mean, we don't have to go down the line of everybody in the National Football League. But, I mean, I don't think Flacco's style is as archaic as you think. I think you could be critical of his lack of consistency in the regular season. I think you could be critical in saying they're getting a quarterback on the downside, that he clearly, that is where he is trending physically, and certainly the production has not been there. But if Joe Flacco was... You can win with Flacco with other things that have to go well on your team. And for a fourth-round draft choice, I don't think it's the worst gamble in the world. They have to find their future quarterback, but they could still address that in this upcoming draft.
I'm not going to argue with any of the things you're saying about what they had to give up. You know, I'm not going to argue with that. I just think that I would assume the bulk of Bronco fans and people in Denver aren't exactly doing bat flips over this move, and I can't blame them. I can't blame them. If I was a Bronco fan, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. And I have no heat. I have no problem. I have nothing personally against Joe Flacco. I still think he's got stuff left in the tank. I do. I just don't know if, you know, you're the Broncos, and you know you hate and you want to go against the Chiefs and the Chiefs, and the Chiefs got a guy named Pat Mahomes who's a younger, athletic guy who fits this style of football that you're seeing, you know, that people are talking about constantly and you're watching constantly. Where Flacco, it seems like a little bit more, you know, old school. Look, real quick, you mentioned Tom Brady, and no doubt the greatness. I agree, right? So just your opinion. Once Tom Brady's said and done and he hangs up his cleats, Belichick will probably coach that until he's 100. So who do you think they're going to bring in another type quarterback, a traditional straight drop back, big, tall quarterback like they did with Brady? Or you think that Bill Belichick will want his offense to evolve into what these NFL offenses are becoming and have that type of a Mahomes, for argument's sake,
I don't think he's made a decision one way or the other. I think he's looking at the player.
No, I'm asking you. I'm asking you your opinion. What you think... Right, that Belichick would do. He's the greatest coach we got, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think Belichick would be, if he could get a guy that's a pocket thrower, that's going to be as accurate, limit mistakes, run the offense, execute the game plan, I think he'd be happy.
So Tom Brady Jr.
Yeah, right. I mean,
that's tough to find, as you know.
No, but that's my point. My point being is, I don't think Belichick's going to paint himself into a box or into a corner and say, I have to get a quarterback that's this way. I think Belichick's grading out the player, and then they'll adjust. What makes him so great is then they adjust to said player. That's the way I think Belichick would look at it. Now, if that guy happens to be one that's better moving on the run, like Garoppolo. Garoppolo is a more athletic quarterback, right?
Lovely place. Yeah.
But also, you know, Garoppolo can't stay healthy either. He can't stay on the football field, but he's a much different quarterback in terms of athletically than Tom Brady. And they found Garoppolo, who's not a high draft choice. But that really hammers home the point. I think it really comes up to the player that they bring in that they all of a sudden then believe in.
Right. And the thing is, I firmly believe in this here. I do think that as time evolves here over the next several years, the better quarterbacks coming out of college, because the college system has changed as far as offense and quarterback play. I think we all can agree on that. It's going to be a little tougher to find those phenomenal straight drop back quarterbacks, those cannon arm 6'5" guys, because a lot of these big D1 programs, they want the Kyler Murrays. They want the Baker Mayfields. They want those guys that can do the RPO move, boom, 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 not just run and get first downs, but run and throw at the same time on a dime, and that's what those young guys do.
Mean, I think there's a place for both. I don't think all of a sudden I mean, we have a difference of opinion.
Yeah,
I don't think the pocket
passer
is going to be all of a sudden out of the game, and you don't have to be the most athletic guy to run a RPO. Just ask Nick Foles, you know. But in terms of moving the pocket, scrambling for first downs, doing rollouts, the Kyle Shanahan type of offensive system, yeah, you have to be a little bit more of an athletic quarterback. But I mean, I look at this scenario for the Denver Broncos, I think it's a good gamble because they no longer believed in Case Keenum. So they have to find themselves a better option. They have to draft. See, I wouldn't be critical of John Elway necessarily bringing in Joe Flacco. I'd be critical of John Elway, how the whole Osweiler scenario fell
right.
apart, how they traded up to draft Paxton Lynch, how they drafted Trevor Siemian, how they then paid Case Keenum a 2-year, $14 million deal guaranteed. I'd be more critical of all of those moves about John Elway. I mean, John Elway, a quarterback savant, looked at Paxton Lynch coming out of Memphis and said that is going to be our long-term solution at the quarterback position. And Paxton Lynch is trying to fight for a job in the NFL.
I know.
And not a starting job.
No.
To hang on with a team in the NFL. That's how bad he is as an NFL signal caller, Taz. So, to me, I look at that and I'm a little bit more critical of how Elway's
overall
handled
moves,
that position.
Yeah, overall, right.
More so than just yesterday. Because I can understand yesterday, it's not a bad gamble to take an older quarterback. He's won in
Super
the past.
Super Bowl champion. Right.
Right. Fangio's familiar with him. Got to remember, Fangio was on that Baltimore staff when Flacco was there. So he knows Joe well.
Yep.
And it's a gamble to me that's worth taking. It's not the future of the Denver Broncos, but Elway should never have put his organization in the position that they're in.
And they are not in a
good position.
I want to hear
from you. What's your take on what the Broncos did yesterday in acquiring of Joe Flacco? Where he is as a signal caller, do you think he'll prove to be the solution at the quarterback position for the Broncos in 2019? Or are you basically saying, no, that is not the case? I want to hear from you. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. That's your number to call. We've got a special Valentine's edition of BCS coming your way. Tracy Murray, former UCLA Bruin NBA star, will join us a little later on the program as well. Happy Valentine's Day, one and all. It's a good Thursday morning. Taz and the Moose with you. CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you to John Elway.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now at geico.com.
You know, we're talking about the Moose, we're talking about the whole Joe Flacco situation going to the Denver Broncos. Let's go out to Denver and listen to Mark, who's listening on Sirius XM Channel 206. Mark, you're on with Taz and the Moose. What's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy Valentine's Day off the top.
Yes. Yeah, happy Valentine's Day, Mark.
Thank you. I know we've spoken many times before. I'm sure you may have expected to hear from me amidst all of the news with Flacco coming to Denver.
You're at the top of the list.
No.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Taz, I must say I'm not doing backflips about this news. However, I'm a little curious. I'm kind of a little bit on the fence about my feelings with Flacco and fact that he's coming off of an injury. I wasn't too happy with Case Keenum's performance last season, obviously. I do have a little bit of confidence in him. And ever since we missed the playoffs this season, he's been saying he wants to stay in Denver. That's his future. That's what he wants to do. Now, my question for you is, number one, who do you think is the better quarterback for my Broncos? Number two, what happens to Keenum if they do install him in the starter position? And last of all, do you think that John Elway can parlay this decision if he does put Flacco in? So you know our offensive line has had a lot of injuries.
Yes.
He's been pretty good throughout the years, but do you think he could possibly parlay that with bringing in a better offensive line? Do you think that would help keep Flacco in the pocket and be able to maybe make it to Super Bowl again?
Well, I think my opinion, I think if you can jack up that offensive line, you're definitely going to help Flacco's situation because you know, the guy does know how to win. Okay, you know, he's been to the highest level of as far as competition and winning. He does have a big, strong arm still. He definitely does. He's a big, tall, you know, guy. Just the athleticism thing's the problem. And I feel like defenses and how fast defenses play now is a problem for the Broncos now. And because there's just a plethora of tape on a guy like Flacco. But if you could get some weapons around him, I mean, yeah, I'm not saying you're not going to win, you know, a handful of games with him. My opinion, and maybe I'm wrong, and I'm not wishing against you guys. I think, you know, going deep is going to be tough. I mean, as far as winning deep with Flacco, just my opinion. Unless there's some other move here that maybe Elway and company and Fangio is going to make with the draft with a quarterback, a young quarterback. I don't know. That remains to be seen. Moose, I don't know your thoughts on it, but
yeah, I mean. You know, go ahead.
What do you think the most crucial key is for them to actually be successful? I know we're going to be up against Kansas City twice next season. That's not going to be easy. And they're going to be in contention for the Super Bowl, obviously. And I'm a big Mahomes hater for good reason.
Right.
But, I mean, what's the most important part for Denver to be up in there in the playoffs and, you know, making
well, be consistent defensively. Be consistent defensively what you weren't last year. Certainly, I think more consistent play at the quarterback position. Listen,
Mark, we appreciate the call. Thanks.
All the criticism of Flacco, when he's played 16 games, how many years do you think he's had a losing record?
When he's played 16 games, a losing record?
I don't have rhetorical than anything else. One time in his entire Joe Flacco in his career is 96-67 as a starting quarterback in the National Football League.
Right. Okay.
He's had one losing season his entire when he's played 16 games. He's had one losing season, you know, in his entire career. That's
right.
It.
Right.
That's it.
Okay.
So, I mean, the idea that we're, you know, if first and foremost, I mean, to the caller, Mark, Case Keenum's out of the equation.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So Case Keenum's not going to be starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos
they didn't
in
do
2019.
Just to do that. Right, exactly.
No, they
right.
did not bring Joe Flacco aboard to provide right. competition and try and motivate Case Keenum. No, they tried to upgrade the position at the quarterback spot after what they witnessed this past year with Case Keenum. Now, you know, Keenum might stay in Denver and remain the backup quarterback, Taz, or they might find another home. For Case Keenum, and he might play someplace else. But they don't make this move. You're not giving up a fourth-round draft choice for Flacco to say, well, we want you to compete with Case Keenum. No, you bring him in to be your starting quarterback in 2019. And I get the limitations of Flacco. I understand it. I get where he is as a player. I will say this. I do have a deep appreciation for guys that play really well in big games.
That's clutch, and I agree with you.
Because I've seen a lot of guys play really well in the regular season, and then when the pressure's on, all of a sudden, Taz, they're not making the right decision.
Right, no doubt.
They're throwing a bad intercept. They're doing all these things.
Guff.
Right, Joe Flacco, when the pressure's on the most, Joe Flacco plays really good football.
But he's got to, and you're right. And that's a clutch guy. He's got to get there.
I understand
but
that.
I agree with you. But you're right.
I think you have an appreciation for that, too.
I absolutely
because
do.
Who doesn't? I mean,
you gotta.
We want to see guys when the pressure's on most play their best. And Flacco has done that and shown that in the past.
Well, let's go down to Richmond, Virginia. Chris, listening on 106.1. Hey, you're on with Taz and the Moose. What's going on, Chris?
Morning, guys.
How you doing?
What's up, Chris?
Pretty good. So the bottom line is, are the Broncos a better team with Flacco? The answer is yes. But was the trade a good trade? No. The reason is because the Broncos play with the Chargers and the Chiefs in that division. They're not going to make the playoffs with Flacco.
Right.
Okay? Now, here's the thing. They traded a fourth-round pick for Flacco. They could have easily traded a higher-round pick and maybe got Foles, which also has great playoff experience, which also has a Super Bowl, which is also younger, which is also doesn't have all these limitations that Flacco has. Now, would Foles put him in the playoffs? We don't know, but that would be a better decision by Elway, and that's the bottom line.
Totally agree with that. I totally agree with you, Chris. Totally agree with that. And there was scuttlebutt out there that the Broncos were considering going after Foles. I mean, but I think it's the Fangio connection with Flacco.
Well, I'm not denying that Foles would be the better option.
Yeah.
And that's fair, but maybe they decided that they did not want to give up higher compensation and felt like they could be just as good or nearly as good with Flacco at quarterback as compared to, say, giving up the 10th overall pick in order to get Nick Foles.
Right.
or a top second round draft choice. So they decided to give up a fourth round pick for Joe Flacco. That's fair. I'm not going to tell you that I'd rather have Joe Flacco than Nick Foles.
No,
all things being equal, I'd rather have Nick Foles.
Right. Me too.
I think most NFL fans would probably agree with that.
Absolutely.
I do look at that trade. I actually thought it was a good trade for the Broncos. I do. I think it's a good trade for both teams. I think both teams win. I think come March 13th, when this thing gets announced officially, the Ravens need to rid themselves of Flacco. They get decent compensation with a fourth-round pick. And the Broncos need a new signal caller, a guy to be a stopgap measure. Now, Elway's still got to find that young signal caller, Taz.
Yes, he does.
That's going to lead that team for the next 12, 13 years. But they found a nice stopgap measure in Flacco.
And, I think you got to go. If he's your guy for the year, we want to win with Flacco. You got to jazz up that offensive line.
I agree with that.
You got us. Maybe go in that first pick, you go with one of the better offensive linemen, a kid out of Oklahoma or something like that, Jonah Williams. So maybe you go that route if he's still available.
Yeah, the offensive line is the strength
Alabama,
of this
draft. Not Oklahoma, Alabama.
Alabama, right. Tackle. We'll get to your back to your calls at 855-212-4227. We'll do that update here. Bogus is in the house. First time this morning. What's up, Andrew?
Moose, Taz, good moment. So while John Elway collects mediocre QBs in Denver, Steve Kerr collected technical fouls last night in Portland.
Steve Kerr can't believe it. Boy, you don't see Kerr. Oh, Kerr just threw his clipboard down. He's got one tee. He's got two tees. He's gone.
That's Brian Wheeler on Blazers Radio. Kerr going berserk after officials use review to give Draymond Green a flagrant foul in the fourth quarter. Joel Embiid paraphrasing for the Warriors head coach. Embiid BTW fined $25,000 yesterday for that remark. Kevin Durant, meanwhile, has his coach's back.
I felt him. I understand his anger and his rage, especially for that call. I thought we should just keep playing. It was a common foul, I thought. Russ looked at it differently, and I understand why coach was a little frustrated.
Durant and Steph Curry had 32 apiece, but the Blazers won last night 129-107, 29 points for Damian Lillard. Nuggets head coach Michael Malone got the boot in the first quarter. His team managed to win after that 120-118 over the Kings on Nikola Jokic's putback with 3:10 left. James Harden with 42, extending his streak of 30-point games to 31. But Houston lost in Minnesota 121-111. Harden now tied with Wilt for the second longest such streak in NBA history. Pascal Siakam, a career-high 44, as the Raptors outscored the Wizards 129-120. Giannis had 33 with 19 boards and 11 assists to rally the Bucks to a 106-97 win in Indy. And the Clippers took down the Suns 134-107. Lou Williams, 30 points and 10 assists in just 22 minutes. The most points and the most assists in those few minutes ever. And then there are the Knicks extending their franchise worst drought to 18 games, a 126-111 home loss to the Sixers. The aforementioned Joel Embiid, 26 points and 14 boards. College hoops, top-ranked Tennessee's win streak up to 19, 85-73 over South Carolina. Number 13, Villanova took care of Providence, 85-67. And 15th-ranked Texas Tech dismissed OK State 78-50. In non-Joe Flacco to Denver news, the Jaguars signing kicker Josh Lambeau to a four-year extension yesterday, and the NFL has reportedly disinvited Louisiana Tech pass rusher Jalen Ferguson from the combine. The league's standard pre-combine background check showed Ferguson was convicted of simple battery during his freshman year after a fight at a McDonald's. New Angels writing Matt Harvey says he'll be a better teammate and player going forward. Harvey checked into spring training by saying he has learned from the mistakes that got him traded from the Mets to the Reds last season. And from the NHL, Edmonton losing in Pittsburgh 3-1. Then the Ducks blanked the Canucks 1-0 to end a 7-game losing streak. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.
Let's go to Pennsylvania to Jared, listening on radio.com. Jared, you're on with Taz and the Moose. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, Jared?
Hey. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
So, yeah, I think it's a good move for Denver. Obviously Keenum has shown an inability to throw the ball, downfield. And I think Denver really suffered with no vertical game whatsoever. And if anything, Flacco can do that. He can air the ball out, and you have Sutton, who's a good big receiver, on the outside. And I think that opens, it keeps the defense honest, and I think it opens the door for play action and for a better run game. And we know, Denver has kind of always had that, those jam running backs where they just find kind of late in the draft and run well. And
well, how about Lindsey this year, undrafted?
Undrafted, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good move. My my thing more or less, like, what is Baltimore thinking? You know, they're putting all their baskets in Lamar Jackson. And, you know, Moose, I've talked about this before. I know you're a Redskins fan. I'm a Redskins fan. And look what RG3 did his first year. But then, you know, the running quarterback doesn't survive, you know.
Not like that.
Well, Lamar Jackson isn't – he runs – I mean, listen, halfway through the season, people were worried he wouldn't even last the whole season because his instinct is run first. And I don't know if that's ever going to change in a quarterback who's always run first. So, you know, with the AFC North, I think, wide open with Steelers, you know, most likely losing Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell is not coming back, you know, Big Ben's not getting any younger. You know, I just wonder if Baltimore is making the wrong decision here with – you know, with going with Lamar Jackson from start from day one because
I don't think why would you? But the thing is, Jared, like you're not gonna win there. The Flacco, look, Flacco, in my opinion, he's yesterday's news. He really is. I mean,
yeah, but you're telling me he's not a quality backup. Who's their backup?
If they could get
RG3.
I mean, no. I, as far as the Lamar Jackson thing, okay. I understand what you're saying. A lot of people feel like he is run first, and he kind of is. And Moose and I have talked about this before. We just talked about it last segment, too. I think they're gonna revamp his game a little bit. Okay, he can throw the ball. He's not a great thrower.
Yeah.
I know he's not a great thrower, but he's done great stuff at Louisville. He did a really good job for the Ravens last year. He did, to your point. And, he took a lot of hits. I know he did. You're right. Yeah. I got you, and I agree with you. But this is kind of where offenses are going. You know what I mean? This is where that.
Yeah.
You know, like, Jared, what's Baker Mayfield? What type of quarterback is he? Give me a couple of adjectives that explain his game.
Explosive. I think he is pass first. I think he can run, but he's not a Lamar Jackson where he, you know, the second the pocket breaks down, he's not going outside the pocket to run. He's going out the pocket to make a play.
That's exactly. Hold on. That's exactly right. And that's my point. He goes out of the pocket to make a throw. And that's the new style NFL quarterback we're seeing more now. Guys that are on the move, making throws.
Well, but okay. But
thank you, Jared, for the call. We appreciate it.
Jared, we appreciate it. Number one is, you know, Jared had a good feel in terms of, I mean, Keenum couldn't throw the ball downfield. Flacco can. Number two is when you look at Mayfield, you know, Mayfield's a very accurate quarterback on a deep throw. He was the most accurate quarterback coming out of Oklahoma of any of the ones in last year's draft class in terms of his downfield throws 15 yards or more with the comparison to the other draft prospects. And that's why the Browns, not only with his attitude, but were enamored with him because of his ability to stretch the field and be accurate with the throw and be accurate with the football. Number three is I look at Lamar Jackson and Taz. I mean, they've got to do a lot of retooling because he cannot run the ball 26 times in a game.
No, I know.
And expect to hold up. And here's the other issue. You mentioned about putting tape down on Joe Flacco. The tape is now out on Lamar Jackson.
Because
what Gus Bradley and the Chargers did, putting seven defensive backs in the game, and for the better part of the game, until it became a margin game, when the Baltimore Ravens did nothing.
Right.
I mean, literally nothing offensively. Yep. And Lamar Jackson couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with some of his throws down the field. So that would be a concern for me. Now, they could revamp the offense, retool the offense, do some different things. He can't take that kind of beating.
No.
If he does, he's going to get hurt.
I agree.
I mean, I would probably, if he runs the ball 26 times a game, it'll be minus 500 for him to make it even through the year.
He's a frail guy.
He's not going to make
it.
He's
not a heavy, thick guy.
Right. He's not Cam Newton.
No. Cam Newton's a big, thick dude.
Andrew Luck took a lot of hits.
Good point. Big guy.
And his body broke down.
Right. And he's a bigger guy.
And he's a bigger guy. Cam Newton's as big of a quarterback as you'll see. His body is broken down. Lamar Jackson can't take those kind of hits.
No, I agree.
His body will not hold up. That's the concern you have here with Lamar Jackson. But we'll see. They're all in on him. I get why, the reason why, but it's going to be a fascinating offseason where Lamar Jackson's going to have to do a lot of work this offseason and get himself ready to do a lot more throwing of the football next year.
Yeah, I don't totally agree with that. And, you know, but I do think if Flacco would have stayed there, if he would have stayed in Baltimore, like, you know, I think we could agree that it wouldn't have been a quarterback controversy.
I think he had to go. I mean, he had to go.
Different coat of paint.
But Flacco wanted out. the Ravens wanted out.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Flacco wanted a place to go play.
Right, right. I mean, and I respect that. I don't blame him.
And that's fair. And I get it. I mean, he's a prideful guy. He's still got some time left to be a quarterback. He doesn't want to sit there and be the backup quarterback with his nicely coiffed hair. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to go play. So yeah, now he's got an opportunity to play in Denver.
No, I don't want to come off like I don't like – I respect Flacco. I've always liked watching him play. I just feel like – I hate to be rude. I just feel like it's kind of
– I think Flacco's got more game than
– Maybe you're right. And I hope he does great. I hope it works out for him.
I think he's got a little bit more game. I could be dead wrong, but I think he's got a little bit more game than many people probably think he does.
If – as long as – like we said, as long as – I was saying they jack up the O-line because, you know, if they don't go – because to your point earlier, they can still go quarterback in the draft. They can still get a young guy where Flacco kind of mentored that young guy. You know, you could do that for sure. Okay, yeah. No doubt. But the scuttlebutt is they might need to go defense or go like D-back or quarterback.
Yeah,
that's
they could. Well, they've got some other.
Am I getting played off music here? What the hell's going on? What is
that? No, we roll music as you continue the conversation.
Not right.
Stop playoff music.
Playoff music. What am I? We're in the Oscars now?
No.
I want to thank everyone. This
is what we do.
It's not nice.
No, it's not. You can play music all the time. Whenever I'm talking, you can start playing music.
I never
855-212-4227.
Never my life.
You're not getting played off.
Play me off yet.
No. Not it's right. Taz. It's the Moose. It's CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh. Ah, yes, that is right.
Oh, right, yeah.
On a Valentine's Day Thursday morning. We got a V-Day BCS coming your way later
V-Day.
On.
V-Day?
Yes.
V-Day or V-Day?
No, V.
Oh, V, like Victor.
Yes.
As in Valentine's.
Right, I got it. Right.
Yes, correct.
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah, Mike just goes V stands for Valentine's.
Yes.
Thanks, Mike.
Richmond, Virginia.
No.
Yeah. Victor.
What? Oh. Be like Victor. There
What's
it is.
Up, Victor?
Perfect.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, man? Victor?
I just want to say I think that the Flacco trade was a good move. We draft another offensive lineman, and they're going to get that corner that they need in probably about the third or fifth round.
Yeah, no, and, Vic, I hear what you're saying, but like I think their bigger need. If they don't go QB, would be the cornerback spot. I'd love to see them build up that offensive line because I think if you're going to go this year, if they're going to go this year with Flacco, then you got to really fix your old line. But they got that cornerback issue. Unless they're going to work something out and try and get.
No, I mean, listen. There's a lot of needs where the Broncos can go with that 10th overall pick, and it doesn't necessarily need to be a quarterback or it could be corner, it could be offensive line. I mean, there's a reason why they're sitting there with the 10th overall selection.
Right.
And it wasn't just all Case Keenum's fault. We saw also at times the inconsistency and poor play of that defense too. So. Now you've got a new defensive mind in Fangio who's stepping in, who's now the head coach, who we know has been a great defensive coordinator, whether it be
absolutely.
Baltimore, San Francisco, Chicago. Yeah. I mean, his teams have played really, really well. And we do know that, with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, they're ahead of the game on the outside to be able to get to the quarterback as compared to a lot of other teams. So now it's a question of the Denver Broncos are looking to try and get themselves back to relevancy right quick, and they're hoping that Flacco can be that bridge quarterback to that next generational quarterback that Elway's got to find. See, that's the thing that, I wake up on this Thursday morning if I'm a Bronco fan. My biggest concern is this, Taz, is not necessarily, what Flacco is going to be in 2019. Is do I have the scouts and the decision maker in place to be able to target and find that next great quarterback for the Denver Broncos? Because ultimately, if we're going to judge Elway on that, it's been a failure.
Absolutely.
He did a great job of convincing Peyton Manning, and they had a good run. But after Peyton Manning, it has been an unmitigated disaster in Denver trying to find that guy. He was a great quarterback and a Hall of Famer, one of the best quarterbacks the NFL has ever seen, Taz. He's had an issue trying to find a quarterback from college to the NFL that can translate. And that's the biggest concern I'd have for the Broncos.
That's probably one of my bigger concerns about Elway with this, because it's almost like he's, I don't know this, but like it's almost like he's trying to recreate what happened by bringing Peyton Manning in. with Joe Flacco. It's almost like that same feel. Like,
or he's bringing a guy that he believes he can trust, he can win with, that's got some time left that he wants to try and win right away. Yeah. I mean, I don't think Manning was a special case because you knew when you got him, as long as he could throw the football, Flacco's not even close to being what Peyton Manning was.
Most weren't.
Right. Exactly right. We've got a special V-Day BCS coming your way next. Taz Boos, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.